Thieves. Thank you. We're very happy to have everyone here this morning at Dallasburg Baptist Church. If you have a second, take a chance to look at your announcements there. You can see we've got lots of things going on at Dallasburg, lots of opportunities to serve not only your community, but to serve brothers and sisters in Christ, but most importantly, to serve a holy, righteous God. So lots of opportunities exist right there. I wanted to point a few dates out for you just so you can go ahead and mark those on your calendar. Vacation Bible School, June 20th through the 24th. It's a massive outreach that we do here at Dallasburg. It always is very good. It reaches a lot of young children. And we've also had adults who have become members of Dallasburg by their children attending Vacation Bible School. So it's a huge outreach we do. And it takes a lot of people to put that on. We have a sign-up sheet out there that what we jokingly call the Hallelujah Hallway. That's out there. You can sign that up. I looked yesterday. Still lots of blanks left on that. So if you feel so inclined and you would like to sign up for that, we would love to have you partner with us for Vacation Bible School. Another thing that we've been doing as we've been praying about and getting ready for the gospel to every home, I went to a training event last week that went really well, and then there we found out that we have workers throughout the community that are packing bags that are going to have gospel information in them, right? They're going to have tracts. They're actually going to have a DVD in them of the Jesus story. They're going to have lots of information. Well, what they found out from packing those bags is that that is taking a lot more work than they expected. It's very labor intensive, and it's going slower than they thought it was going to go. And so who is the contact for our association is Anna Cook. You probably know her, a lovely saint. She is in charge of that. And so you can see here on Tuesdays from 9 to noon, and then again from 6 to 7:30 at First Baptist Church in what they call their game room. I have no idea where that's at, but it's the game room at First Baptist Church. They are packing these bags full of stuff and then praying over these. And so if you have time on Tuesday, either in the morning or in the afternoon, they would love to have you come and help pack some of these bags that we are then going to go out and to share with the community and give people information about Christ and about local churches, right? And so that opportunity exists there as well. You see other information there, lots of opportunities to serve. What I wanted to take a moment to do right now is we want to honor our mothers today. Today is Mother's Day. Hopefully that's not a shock to anyone who's here this morning. If it is a shock for you, you got a few more hours to maybe go and get something for your mom. I don't know. Or give her a call. But what we want to do today is we want to honor all of the lovely ladies we have here. One of the main things that we're going to talk about today in our corporate worship is I'm going to maybe give you a new definition that you've maybe not thought about before in terms of spiritual mothers, right? And so maybe you gather here with us this morning and maybe you don't have your mother with you, right? For a host of reasons. But I'm very confident in giving you this. You do have a spiritual mother here with you today in the church, right? You have women here who have spoken truth in your life, who've guided you and have taught you. And even though they may not be your biological mother, they are your spiritual mother, right? And so give thanks to them. I know I can speak that truth in my life and my kids. I am very confident, and it still may be today, that I did not rank second, because obviously Melissa's going to be first. I did not rank second in my kids' priority list because of other spiritual mothers in this church who ranked higher than me, and I'm okay with that, right? And so what I would like you to do, if you're a female, I would like for you to stand up. Mandy, if you'll send your Sunday school class down here, we're going to hand these out. And what these are, this is Melissa's wonderful idea. This is hand sanitizer glued to a piece of paper. And it says, you deserve a hand, and it quotes Proverbs 31:31, honor her for all that her hands have done. They're right over here in these bags, guys. Grab those bags, grab a few in your hand, hand those out to all our lovely ladies. There you go, Brantley. And what we're going to do now is they're in there after it. All right, I got the right crew to be handing this out this morning. And so what I want everyone to do is that while these, you got plenty, Molly. I think you better put some back. Go big or go home, Molly. Yeah. And so while you remain standing, Brantley, I wish I was as fast as you. While we remain standing, is what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask Brad, if he will, if he'll pray for all of the women in our church. Guys, continue to pass those out. Don't close your eyes. You'll run into something. But Brad, if you'll pray for us, that'd be all right. Thank you so much for that, Brad. Thank you, Sunday school class, for handing those out. That looks like they're extra. So if you forgot a Mother's Day gift, feel free to take one. And you can 100% say that, oh, I made this for you, Mom, and only 100 of us will know the truth, right? God will always know the truth, right? So what we're going to do now is JT is going to come up. JT is going to lead us in praise. And as we begin to prepare our hearts for worship and praise, I ask that we come together now and to focus as much as we can on our Lord and Savior. Don't try to take my mask.
All right. Well, good morning. Good to see all of you all. Would you stand with me as we sing?
Never before, oh my soul, I worship your
Crystal and I, we talked about it this morning. I was like, if anything happens, I'm just going to say, hey, I don't know what happened to Crystal over there. Bless the Lord. Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul, I worship Your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like that. I had a good conversation this week. My aunt came out to pick up some meat there the other night, and she and I were talking to Uncle Bob, her husband. He passed away last year in January, and that song just made me think about him, you know, it talks about for 10,000 years, and just the, she and I had a good long conversation about eternity, and, you know, her heart's broken, and she misses him every day, and there's been long, hard days and hard times, but thank God for the hope that we have and the assurance that we have in Christ that, you know, we know where He's at, and we know that one day we'll get to see Him again. And our hope and our peace is in Christ as well, and knowing that one day we'll be there worshiping with Him. And, you know, Uncle Bob's not sick. He's not hurting anymore. He's at peace, and his life has just begun, you know, a little over a year ago, really. I'm just trying to, we were talking about eternity and trying to wrap our simple minds around it. And but anyway, that song made me think about that conversation and just the, I don't know, the peace and the hope that we can have as followers of Christ, knowing that, you know, this isn't the end. This is really not even the beginning. It's just a blink of an eye or a mist of vapor that the Scripture talks about. But just the hope and the peace that we can have in that. Anyway, our Scripture reading this morning comes from Psalms 56, verse 3. When I am afraid, I put my trust in You. Let's pray. Father God, we come to You right now. Lord, thank You so much for the blessing that it is to gather here together again today. And Father, thank You for this day that we can come to celebrate the mothers in our life, Lord, whether God, they're biological mothers or just women who have stood in the gap and filled in the gap for us, or who have been the spiritual mothers that we've already talked about this morning and spoke truth into our lives and ministered to us in a million different ways. Father, I just pray Your blessings be upon each and every one of them gathered here today. And Lord, I pray that You would continue to use them, continue to work through them to minister to generations to come and to pass down that legacy, Lord, of the job that that they've been given to live it out in front of others that they come in contact with. Father, I just pray that You would be here with us the remainder of this service, Lord, and I pray that You're glorified in all that we do. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace. That will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace.
You might be seated.
Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you right now, thankful for this time that we can come together, Lord. Just thank you for the wonderful worship that we just had. It sounded so beautiful, and I'm sure it was pleasing to you, Lord. Be with Michael. Be with this offering as we use it to the ongoing work of your kingdom. In your holy and precious name we pray. Amen.
All right. We gather here this morning on Mother's Day, and you know, one of the things that I read some, you guys know I love stats, I like stats, and one of the things that I had read this week in preparation for today's message is that Mother's Day is the third highest attendance in church, right? Easter's number one, Christmas is number two, I went blank there for number two for a second, Christmas is number two, and Mother's Day is number three. Right, and so that seems to bear out true for us this morning. And so we're thankful to have you here. If you're not a normal attender of Dallasburg Baptist Church, we are very happy to have you here with us this morning. And we encourage you to come back and join with us as like-minded believers to worship a holy, righteous God. Something else that I wanted to point out, you guys know how fond I am of piggybacking on things, is that in the songs this morning that Crystal had selected for us to hear, they went right in line with what you learned this morning in your Sunday school class, right? Right in line with that. And so what we're doing this quarter in our Sunday school class is we're learning what it means to biblically evangelize people, what that looks like, how do we do that, why do we do that? And this morning, the lesson that you learned in your Sunday school class, and if you weren't able to attend Sunday school, you're going to learn it right now, is that the meat of evangelism is the gospel, right? That is where it all has to start with, right? And so as we sing songs and it talks about God's redemption for all, and then we sing about grace for all, that was the main message this morning, is that who did Jesus Christ go to the cross for? He went for you and he went for me, but he also went for everyone. Right, and so as we sing those songs, as it prepares our hearts for worship, it's very vital to understand the gospel message. The gospel should be in everything. It should be in every song you sing. It should be in every Sunday school lesson you go to. It should be in every message you hear in corporate worship. The gospel should be the driving force of everything. Right, and so thank you so much, Crystal, for that. All of that was free. That's really nothing to do with today's message at all, right? And so what we're going to be talking about today is I'm on this trend lately as we just finished, wrapped up Job, and we looked at the mega theme of our Job series was to how to biblically handle heartache and disaster in our lives. And so I'm on this trend of biblically looking at things, and I think it's a very God-honoring way to look at stuff. And today I want to biblically look at how we treat our mothers. And so we'll find ourselves in Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Most of you are Bible drill masters we have here in our church. You know that as that's where you flip to find the Ten Commandments, and that's what we'll be looking at. We'll be looking at the fifth commandment today. But before we really jump into Scripture, and before I read it for us, and then I'll pray to get us going, is that I want to address the difficulties of today's day, right? You can't come to a Mother's Day message without understanding some individuals did not have the greatest moms, right? Some individuals with us today have maybe recently lost their mother. This isn't always the positive, overflowing day that Hallmark tries to convince you it is on the commercials, right? But what I want us to focus on today is that if you are in one of those categories, I want us to think about this, is that even though you may have not have had the best mom, you are still biblically called to treat her a special way, right? I also want you to think about this. If you don't currently have your mom with you, if your mom has been called to glory already, I want you to think about what it means to have a spiritual mother, what it means to have a female in your life who speaks truth in your life, who is now, as Brad said, correctly said, standing in the gap and filling in that. And so we do understand, as your brothers and sisters in Christ, this is a difficult day for a lot of you. It really is, and we understand that. But we also, even in the midst of that, want to give glory to God. And that's what we're going to do today. So let's read Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. It's a really short one. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for your word. Lord, we thank you for the truth that we learn. We thank you for the love that you show us, most evidently portrayed in your son, Jesus Christ, who came, who went to the cross, who paid the price of our sin as the sacrificial lamb. We thank you for that. And Lord, as we gather here today and as we give praise and honor, most importantly to you, but we also want to give respect to our mothers today. We want to honor them. And Lord, we want to go to the true source of the true best source of information that we'll ever have, your word, and we want to develop some ideas of how we biblically treat and respect our mothers, whether they be biological or spiritual. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So when I was preparing this message, now some of you are going to laugh at this, or maybe all of you will laugh at this. I purposely have tried to make this message short, right? That way, oh, I got a hand clap over here. Thank you, Grayson. The only honest person in the room, Grayson. No, there's a purpose for that, and that's so you can have even more time, right, to spend in celebration and respect your mom. We'll see if that turns out to be true. We'll see. But the first thing is that I could really spend this entire time that we have together, I could just read you scripture and scripture and scripture. How we treat and honor our parents is throughout scripture. It's written all over the place. And we're going to look at today, we're going to look at why that is, and we're going to look at biblically what we do. So we're going to jump in right here on the first point you have there on the back of your bulletins. I didn't give you a fill-in today. You can just go easy today. The first one is how mothers are to be treated with honor. And so that's how Exodus chapter 20, verse 12 starts out. Honor your father and mother, right? And so I think a very good spot to begin with that is, what does honor mean, right? And so honor used in the Old Testament usually means something that you give weight to, something that you give a priority to. And so what we're learning here, what God is telling us, is that we should make respecting our parents a priority in our lives. Right. Another translation of honor, and I'm going to embarrass myself a little bit because I don't speak Greek, but it's translated as Timi, T-I-M-I, right? And that's where we get our word for time. And so one of the clear ways that we show honor to both our biological and spiritual mothers is we give them our time. Now, some of you this morning may, when I say this, you'll be like, well, that doesn't make any sense to me. But I'm going to tell you something right now that biblically I believe to be 100% accurate. The most valuable thing that you have on this side of glory, besides your relationship with Jesus Christ, is your time. No matter how wealthy you are, we all have the same amount. You only get so much, and you can't add a single second to your life, right? And so your time is very important. And so what's super important for us is that we show honor and respect to our parents by giving them our time. Now, it's really easy when we have a message such as this to say, oh, this is just for our youth and younger. Right? It'd be very easy to say that. I will tell you this, when you look at the stats, when you look at how we live our lives, and I think most of us probably have this testimony as well, when you hit mid-adulthood, you figure out for yourself what that is. I don't like to assign ages to things. You figure out where you're at with that. What the world tells you to do, and what so many of us unfortunately get caught up in these trappings, is all we want to do is invest our time and effort into us. Right? We want to see, what can we do to advance our career? Right? What can we do to make more money in this area? What can we do that I can have more free time to do this? And I'm here to tell you, church, I think that's the exact opposite what the Bible teaches us in relation to our mother. And we can even slide our fathers in there. I'm always a little bit harder on fathers, a little bit nicer on mothers, right? I think we can apply that to our mothers and fathers here. We have to give them our time. We have to invest in them, right? Let me read you some scripture here. This is Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2. And really, it would be a boring message, I agree. But we could just do message after message after message of scripture about how God continually reminds you to honor your mother and father. And we'll talk about here in a minute why he spends so much time in scripture telling us that. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, right? And so I fought really hard not to make this a message on the Ten Commandments because I love giving that message. I love discussing the Ten Commandments. But when we jump in today, we talk about the fifth commandment, right? We see there in Exodus 20, verse 12. That's the fifth commandment. So little quick, I'm trying my best, JT. This is not a sermon about Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments really is broken into two commandments, right? You have the first four that deal with your vertical relationship between you and God, right? Do not create idols. Do not use the Lord's name in vain, right? We have those four commandments. And then the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, we make a shift. And so now God gave to Moses and gave to us, he changes it. And now the rest of those commandments deal with our vertical relationships. That's the relationships between you and I. So inside the Ten Commandments, we have two sets of commandments, right? And so the first commandment, it was so important to God. The first commandment that deals with horizontal relationships is the relationship with our mother and father, right? This is something, I listened to this, a sermon, I don't know, 10 years ago, and it spoke so true to me. And when I was preparing this, I was like, I just kept hearing it over and over in my mind. And this probably is for everyone here, You have a tendency to want to give this to our youth, but this is for everyone. If you'll go back and read, Steve, if you'll pull that commandment back up for us, that'd be great. If you go back and read it, that commandment says nothing about your age. It doesn't say when you turn 18, you get to live your life. It doesn't say when you turn 25, well, mom and dad can figure it out. It doesn't say when you turn 60. And if you're 60 and you're still blessed to have your parents with you, what a blessing that is. But at 60, you're still to do what? You're still to honor your father and mother. This commandment does not have an expiration date. Side note, none of the commandments do. But this is one that we have a tendency that unfortunately the world teaches us. When you're 18, you're an adult. Let me tell you something. If you're not 18 yet, I'm going to give you some real godly advice here. You don't become an adult just because you turn 18. There's still lots to learn. There's still lots to do. Something, a testimony that I can share with you in my life is my parents get smarter and smarter the older I get. Right? And when I was young, I'd be like, they don't know what they're talking. These people are crazy. They don't know what they're talking about. The older I get, now that I have kids, now that I interact with other young people, I'm like, my parents were borderline geniuses. Right? They understood. And one of the things that I was blessed with godly parents. Now, I could give you some examples of some things that my parents did that weren't godly, but they loved the Lord and they loved me. And so I'm thankful for that. And so everyone here today, if you leave with nothing else that you remember from today, which is possible, it happens, Remember this, the fifth commandment does not have an age restriction. You are to honor your mother and father as long as you have them. You are also to honor them after they are called to glory, right? And how do you honor them after they've been called to glory? It's by taking the principles and the truth that they've taught you and you apply them to other people, whether it be biological or whether it be spiritual children you have. That's how you do these things, right? I wanted to read something else for us here. And this is Leviticus. I'm going real old school on you here for a second. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3. Every one of you shall revere his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God. So real quick, let's talk about something. Why do we continually see in Scripture, and really, and this is the third time I've told you this just today, I could really fill a whole 30, how long do I get, JT? 2 hours? However long. No, I'm joking. I could fill the entire time with just giving you Scripture references again and again and again that deal with this exact message. I could just do that, and it would bore you to tears, but it's God's Word, and so it would be good for you. Why does God continue to do this? The reason God continues to remind us of how we are to honor and respect our parents is it creates in us an understanding of submission. Now, this is a problem that everyone here with us today in person and those with us at home, this is a problem that we probably have a spectrum here, and you all fall somewhere different on the spectrum, but on some level, we all have a problem submitting to authority. We don't like it. We don't want to do it. We don't want to have someone tell us what to do. You've probably experienced that with your parents, and specifically your mom at some point. Your mom probably told you to do something. You're like, I don't know what she's talking about. I don't know why she told me to do that. She don't know what I'm supposed to do. Yes, I can see the reactions on some of our youth's faces. I can see that. Yes, Regina says that's never happened with her. Great. That is a blessing. And Margie laughs. So you guys feel that out, right? And so we have this. The reason God continually reminds us is he understands we need practice. We need growth in submission, because once we understand what it means to submit to our parents here on earth, it makes it a little bit easier to submit to God in heaven. Right? That's why he continually reminds us over and over and over again about submission and authority. You have to learn to do it here on earth with this horizontal relationship so you get better at doing it with your vertical relationship. Every one of us suffer with it on some level. If I say that and you're like, you've moved past that and you think you're doing good with that, I would encourage you to spend some time in your prayer time asking God to reveal to you areas in your life you still struggle with submission. Unfortunately, because of your sin nature, submission doesn't come natural to us. It's unfortunate, you know? But so this is why Scripture reminds us over and over again. And so time is so important to spend with your parents. So important. One of the things that I wanted to say this morning is that many of you probably this morning either purchased or you have a gift for your mom, right? Nothing wrong with that. That's good and that's right. But I wanted to tell you, and this is not a true story, this is a funny story of an example of sometimes how our gifts turn out with our moms, right? So this mother was blessed with 3 sons. We'll just go son 1, 2, and 3 because I don't want to invent names. And all 3 sons, according to the world standards, were very prosperous, right? So they were wealthy. And they got together, and of course, if you have siblings, especially if you have brothers, there's always a little bit of competition, right? And so they got together. I know Mike and Mark, you don't understand what that is, but there's sibling rivalry a little bit. And so the 3 brothers got together, and they're trying to say, well, who got mom the best Mother's Day gift? And again, these men were very wealthy, right? And so the first one had built his mom a brand new house, what we would call a mansion. Gave it to her. Like, wow, that's impressive. Second son, he'd bought his mom a limo and a driver to drive and take her anywhere she wanted to go. Well, the third brother was like, I got all of them beat. He reached out and he found a parrot that had been taught by monks to recite any verse in Scripture, right? You know, you give it the book and chapter and verse, the parrot would tell you what it was. And he's like, you know, mom loved the Bible. I got you all beat. So they give the gift to the mom. Few months go by. Mom sends letters thanking the sons. The first letter to the first son was like, thank you for the house. There's so many rooms in the house. I never leave this one, but now you've just created work for me, so now I got to clean the whole house. So she wasn't very appreciative of the house. The second one, she goes, I don't go anywhere, right? So you sent me a limousine to drive me someplace, and I never leave the house, and plus the driver's really rude. I don't even know why you sent me this guy. So she wasn't happy with that either. And to the third son, she wrote a letter. She goes, you have always been my favorite and had the most sense. Thank you for the chicken. It was delicious. Right? And so what we have to, like, that is not a real story. That is not true. But what we have to be careful of is sometimes our gifts to our moms don't go the way we want them to. But I can promise you this. The gift of time to your mother will always be appreciated. She will always appreciate that. She will never write you a letter saying thanks but no thanks when you give your mother your time. Right? It's invaluable. It means something to her, and it will pay massive dividends to you. The most important being, you'll grow in your understanding of submission to someone, which will then in turn make your submission to God easier. Right? So there's our first point. The second point, mothers are to be assisted with their physical needs. Right? And so we see this throughout Scripture. The fifth chapter of Ephesians, the whole chapter is really dedicated to this as the new church is trying to figure out how do we correctly honor and respect our spiritual mothers as they're trying to work out what do we do with widows? How do we handle serving the widows? And that would be an example of today of what our spiritual, who our spiritual mothers would be, those who need help. But just besides that, we have an amazing example, right, of what this looks like. And so we're going to go to John chapter 19, verse 25 through 27. Let me give you the context. And this is probably a context you may have not have seen on a Mother's Day message before. We're back at the cross, and Jesus is on the cross. We talked about this in Easter. Jesus is essentially being tortured. He's dying a slow death for you and I as the perfect sacrificial lamb. And remember, the many of the paintings and the artist depiction of the cross is really inaccurate, right? The cross wouldn't have been way high and you would have had to look up. It would have more than likely been at eye level. And you could have walked right up and touched the cross. It wasn't like there was a red velvet rope around it and you had to stay away from it. They were close enough to hear Jesus speak, right? And so this is what Jesus, as he is on the cross, what's he bearing at this point? The sin of who? Everyone. He has the sin of everyone upon him. He is being tortured. He is essentially suffocating to death. This is what he says. But standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, that's John by the way, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his home. And so as Jesus is on the cross, paying for the world's sins, right? We learned this morning in Sunday school class, who sins? Everyone sins. As he's bearing that grief, he has the forethought to do what? To provide physically for his biological mother, who is Mary. So as he is there on the cross, he reaches out to John. That's the disciple whom he loved. He reaches out to John, and he gives John the charge. I am soon returning to my Father, right? We know that he goes to the grave. He comes back in 3 days. He spends time here on earth. But ultimately, he ascends and now sits at the right hand of the Father. While he is gone, someone still has to take care of the physical needs of his biological mother, and he assigns that task to John. And the message that we get there from Jesus is that it matters how we treat our mothers. It matters how we provide for them. And we need to provide for them in physical ways as well. Most of you are probably at the point in your life that you're earning a paycheck, that you have some source of gainful employment. It would be very God-honoring and biblical if some of that money is used for your parents to help them if they need help, right? If they need assistance with anything, you could use that in a very God-honoring way. That would be an example we see in Scripture of being a good steward of your money. That is a great example of that, right? And so not only do we have time, but we also have caring for the needs of one another. Something else, and I had made a note here in my notes that I wanted to say here. As we continue to look at the Gospel to Every Home Project, evangelism should always be a priority for us, should always be a priority for the church. But something else that we have to be good at doing is we have to also be focused on meeting the needs of our current of members, of our people that we have here right now. And so if we have spiritual mothers in our congregation that need assistance, it's very God-honoring to provide them that assistance, to provide them care and to help them as best as we can, right? And so that is the second part there, is that we a very biblical way to treat your mom is to assist with their physical needs. And that's a very broad category, right? There's lots of ways you can assist with your mother's physical needs. Maybe that's driving them to appointments. Maybe that's, you know, helping provide financial things for them. Lots of ways to assist with your mother's physical needs. And the third one, and should be the easiest, but unfortunately is probably the hardest for many of us, right, is that we are to listen to our mother's wisdom, right? And so Proverbs. I'm going to read you two verses in Proverbs that you're going to be like, oh, I think that's the same verse. Double check me. I double checked myself three times to make sure I didn't make a mistake when I was looking this up electronically. But it's almost the same exact thing. This is Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instructions, and forsake not your mother's teaching. And then we look at Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. My son, keep your father's commandment, and forsake not your mother's teaching. It almost says the exact same thing. It's a little bit different, right? And so not to spend a ton of time on this, because I'd said I want you to spend as much time today with your biological or spiritual mother as you possibly can. But why do we talk about father's instructions, father's commandments, but both times we talk about mother's teachings? Why is that? Well, I think that's the way God had created male and female, right? Dads play a role in our lives. Mothers play a separate, different role. Right? The role that mothers play is usually more of a nurturing role, more of a teaching role, where fathers more give rules out and expect you to hold yourself up to those rules. Mothers are so much more nurturing and so much more caring. Now, the elephant in the room, when we talk about this, are moms always right? Be careful how you answer this. No, of course they're not, right? I have proof of that because at 9 years old, my mom signed me up for clogging lessons, right? Bought me the shirt, bought me the shoes, and I was like, this is not going to end well, right? 100%, and guess what? It didn't end well, Grayson, right? I was really bad at it. I got no rhythm. I got none of that, and it just didn't go well. But you know what? Doesn't mean my mom doesn't love me. She still loved me. She was just trying to broaden my horizons. It's a poor choice, right? And so I can't stand here and honestly tell you to listen to everything your mother says and think it's going to be perfect. But I will give you this, right? Of all of the interactions, of all the relationships you will have here on earth, you will never have a relationship where someone cares more for your well-being than your mother, right? She cares. She always has your best interest in mind. She doesn't invent things just to make life hard for you because she's a mean person. We always have those extreme examples, but for the majority of us, that is just not the case. When my mom signed me up for clogging lessons, she thought it was a good idea, right? She really did. She thought it would be fun for me and I would make friends. None of that happened, right? But she had the right intentions. And so what we see with that, and you've heard me say, one of my pet peeves is when people say, God loves you like your mom loves you. I don't like that because your mom does not love you like God loves you. God loves you unconditionally. But what your mom is most like God is she wants and she has your best interest in mind. When you talk to a salesman and he gives you advice, if there's any salesman here, I don't really mean any offense at this. The salesman doesn't have your best interest in mind. He's got his commission or her commission in mind. That's what they care about. They want to make that sale so they can make that commission, right? When you talk to your boss and you ask for advice, probably your boss is trying to give you an answer that'll make you more productive so you can produce more widgets and it will be better for them. When your mom gives you loving advice, she has your best interest in mind. And so, if anything, listen to it. Doesn't mean you have to always act on it, but at least give it a listen. At least let her speak some truth in you. Proverbs chapter 15, 20. Really, I wasn't joking when I said this, JT. I could just do a whole message of just looking up verses, right? It's just over and over and over again. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish man despises his mother, right? God just tells us over and over and over again how valuable our parents are, and specifically we're drilling in today on how important our mothers are, right? She, you know, your mother gives her input because she loves you and has your best interest in mind. And so let's just be super honest here this morning. We don't always receive it that way, right? We don't always think our mom's got our best interest in mind. We don't always think our mom is the smartest person in the world, right? The reality is this, is that unless there's some weird going on, I don't know if this is even possible, your mom has more experience than you. She's experienced life more than you. And for no other reason, she has wisdom. And it's valuable to you. It is valuable to you. And again, just to kind of circle back to the point of this, the reason God continually returns to this and he continually beats this drum of respecting your parents is that it's teaching you how to submit. It's teaching you how to listen. It's teaching you how to make others important in your life, not just yourself. Unfortunately, your sinful self wants to make you the center of the universe and wants everything to revolve around you. And God's word continually teaches you that is not how I've designed this, right? That's why it's important for us. What I wanted to do here is... we're getting close, is that I want to read some scripture for us here to help us understand what I mean by spiritual mothers, right? And so we find this in Matthew chapter 12, verse 46 through 49. And again, let me give you some context what's going on here in scripture. This is when Jesus is still doing he's still sharing the gospel, he's still speaking to people, and Jesus' family is concerned about him at this point. They're afraid that he is burning what we would call burning the candle at both ends. He is laying everything out there. And his mother, again, rightly so, is concerned for his physical need. But let's look here what Jesus says to her. Jesus says this, "While he was still speaking to the people, behold, his mother and his brothers stood outside asking to speak to him. But he replied to the man who told him, 'Who is my mother and who are my brothers?' And stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, 'Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and my sister and mother.'" And so this is where I'm developing this point of your spiritual mothers, right? As you interact and as we have brothers and sisters in Christ here with us today, this is your family. This is your church family. We throw that word around, and I think sometimes we treat it not as important as it is. This is your family. It's important. Did Jesus love Mary? Absolutely. You know, if you'll recall, and I was going to spend some time talking about this, Jesus submitted to his biological parents, right? As, you know, there was always that tense relationship when Jesus would go off to the temple and Jesus is doing his thing and his mom and dad are frantic and they're like, "Where's he at?" And they're like, "I'm in my Father's house. Where would you expect me to be?" And so you have that. But even in the midst of that, Jesus still submitted to his biological mother and father. But what Jesus is teaching us here is that that expansion of our family, don't just think of that as blood. Think of that as spiritual. Is that as we stand here right now, if you're a brother or a sister in Christ, guess what? We're brothers and sisters. Right? If you are, and then we also expand that, is that we're just so blessed to have so many spiritual mothers as well. And so even if today is a difficult day for you and you've lost your biological mother, I've got great news for you. You've got a room full of spiritual mothers that are wanting the same thing for you that your biological mother wanted for you. They want nothing but the best for you. They want nothing more than to spend time with you so they can speak wisdom in your life because they care immensely about you. Why do I know that to be true? Because brothers and sisters in Christ do what? They share one another's burdens. They love one another. They care for one another. And so you are blessed with a room full of family. And here we are together. And so that's one of the things that I think will help you and will help ease this. If this day is difficult for you, will help ease that burden to understand you may have lost your biological mother, but you've gained so many spiritual mothers. There's so many of them that want great things for you. And so what we're going to wrap up with is that, you know, these are just three. I mean, I could fill up all of these pages with all of the ways that we are biblically called to treat our mothers. We're to treat our mothers with honor, we're to assist with their needs, and we're to listen to their wisdom, right? These are all great ways that we honor our mothers. One of the things that I want to end with today is that as you go out and as you're going to give your mother a gift, don't give her a parrot, JT, but if you're going to give her something, I mean, I think probably the best gift you can give your mother today is your time. And so I would encourage you today, if you're blessed and fortunate enough that you still have your mother, give her a call, send her an email, go give her a big hug, man. Go spend some time with your mother. If you don't have a biological mother, give one of your spiritual mothers here a big hug, right? Let them know how much they mean to you and how important they are to you, right? Let's pray. Dear God, we thank you so much for today. We thank you for the truths in Scripture. We thank you for the word that you give us today in regards to our parents. Lord, we thank you for the reality of you loving us so much that you're trying to help us with our submission problem, of speaking truth into our lives, of teaching us to submit to our parents. Lord, we thank you for that. We pray that that submission then manifests itself in a greater, easier submission to you as a 100% righteous and 100% holy creator. So we thank you for that. Lord, we thank you for all of the truths and all the wisdom that we've been given by our mothers, both biological and spiritual. And Lord, we just pray that we are able to then take that information and pass it on to other generations as they come to know you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Y'all stand.
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of thy love, at the impulse of thy love. Take my feet.
Thank you all for being here today. I would encourage you to biblically think about your mothers today, to think about ways that you can honor them and respect them, and just look for those opportunities as you go out. We will not have our Gospel to Home class tonight led by Bobby. We're going to do that, and we're doing that on a reason so you can spend even more time with your family today. So please exercise that right. Please go out and do that. Mason, you close us in prayer, please. Thank you.